PBS Kids opens worlds of possibilities for all children, thanks to PBS stations and viewers like you.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow.
I'm hot on the trail of one of the world's most fascinating animals, the Minimi hominis humeri. They're great fun to watch, especially if you can catch them in their natural habitat. Come on. Observing them is a real science. You have to know what you're doing because if they catch you looking, they think it's fun to hide. Did you hear that? They may be closer than I think. Hey-ya! Hey-ya! Whoa! But the hominids love to run, but that's not them. Could it be? Nope. They love to play in the snow, but they don't look like that. What was that? Definitely not the hominis humeri. When they're in the water, all they do is splash. Guess it's not gonna be so easy tracking down the hominis after all. But there's something that can probably help us. This is one of the greatest spying guides in the world. It has all the do's and don'ts of nosing around. It's called Nosy Mrs. Rat.
Nosy Mrs. Rat by Jeffrey Allen and James Marshall. Read by Faith Prince. Mrs. Davis felt peculiar as she took her morning bath. "I feel like I'm being watched," she said to herself. And she was being watched. By Shirley Rat, the nosiest person in town. "I see you're using lilac bubble bath," said Shirley. "I personally prefer rose." "I love to know what's going on," said Shirley. "I don't get paid for it. It's my hobby." And Shirley's hobby kept her very busy. Reading other people's mail took half the morning. Listening in on private conversations, Shirley sometimes forgot to fix lunch for her kids. In the afternoon, Shirley did lots of snoopy things, like poking around in other people's shopping carts. "Can you really afford this expensive brand?" she said to Mrs. Butler. And at night, while people were watching television, Shirley Rat was watching them. Sometimes Shirley wore a disguise. I can find out more if people don't recognize me, she said. There's that nosy Shirley rat, whispered one of her neighbors. Most folks had gotten used to Shirley's little ways. But not everyone was so understanding. Ugh, I hate that Mrs. Rat, said Brewster Blackstone, who lived next door. She makes my life miserable. Shouldn't you boys be in school? Said Shirley, just when Brewster and his gang thought they were safe. I'm so sorry to hear Brewster flunked history, said Shirley to Mr. Blackstone.
He did? Well, that's the first I've heard of it.
Brewster Blackstone was grounded for a whole week. Ugh. And he had plenty of time to think. Aha! This calls for a creative solution. One afternoon, while Shirley Rat was engaged in her favorite activity, something attracted her attention. Hmm, said Shirley. The postman had just delivered a large and interesting package to Brewster. Ooh, said Shirley. I wonder what's inside. Brewster, dear, said Shirley in her sweetest voice. What is in that large and interesting package? Ah, none of your beeswax. Oh, how rude! I'll find out what's in that package if it's the last thing I do. Using her special sticky shoes, Shirley scaled the Blackstone's house to get a good look in Brewster's window. But Brewster pulled down the shade. Next, Shirley sifted through the Blackstone's garbage. But the Blackstone's garbage gave Shirley no clues. Then, Shirley tried to disguise herself to get inside Brewster's room.
I'm the Roach Patrol.
I know who you are, said Mrs. Blackstone. At home, Shirley had trouble concentrating.
That package is really none of your business, said her husband.
But he wasn't heard. Shirley went to the park to sit and think. Suddenly, she spotted a small envelope marked Confidential, do not open. Oh, goody, said Shirley.
Sneak preview, invitation only. Brewster Blackstone's backyard at 8.
At Brewster's, Shirley took a front row seat.
The Nosy Neighbor, directed by Brewster Blackstone.
Oh, my, said Shirley. There's nothing worse than a nosy neighbor. Suddenly, for everyone to see, there was Shirley Rat up to her old tricks, snooping shamelessly.
The audience began to laugh out loud.
What's so funny? Said Shirley. Oh. And when the film showed Shirley trying different ways to peek in Brewster's window, someone called out,
That's our nosy Mrs. Rat.
Nosy?
So the audience was in hysterics. They laughed so hard they fell out of their seats.
Shirley made a quick exit. So humiliated. Shirley went straight to bed.
I'll never snoop again.
Oh, now there,
said her husband. Perhaps you can save snooping for special occasions.
Oh, no. I'm finished with all that.
Well, you have a nice rest, dear. Said Shirley. Well, perhaps for special occasions.
Did the camouflage fool you? Or did you know it was me? I was hoping that this disguise would be better than nosy Mrs. Rat's. Mrs. Rat was really much too nosy. But there's nothing wrong with being a little curious. In fact, here's someone whose curiosity led to some pretty incredible discoveries. No one knew much about chimpanzees until Jane Goodall went to the Gombe Forest in Africa to find out about them. She spent many years trying to blend into the background, watching the chimps and learning by observing.
Lots of people say, oh, are you the chimpanzee lady? And I say, yeah, that's me. My work in studying chimpanzees is really to learn as much as I can about the way they live and why they do what they do. The main method that I've always used has been to learn by watching. And what I've found is that if you want to learn about animals, you must be patient. The first exciting thing that I observed was indeed the fact that chimpanzees can use tools, because up until that time, we thought only humans could. The tools that they use most often are twigs to fish for termites or white ants, and they may actually modify them, strip the leaves. They're making a tool. I did taste the termites, and they're actually quite nice, although they're better if you cook them, which is cheating. Learning about the chimpanzees has taught me so much. I mean, all the hours I've spent with them, they're wonderful personalities. Every chimpanzee has a personality quite as distinct and individual as we do. And it's the postures and gestures they use that are so like many of ours, like embracing, kissing, holding hands. Particularly young chimps are very, very curious. And if they see anything that's new or has a strange movement, they'll go and watch it. If they're a little bit frightened, they don't want to touch it, which is wise, they'll pick a stick and just gently touch it with the end and then sniff and try and find out a little bit more about what's aroused their curiosity. And it's because chimpanzees are curious and because they watch other chimpanzees doing things that they can learn new behaviors. They play exactly like human children, and they have very imaginative play. One of them will pick a little play twig and approach with a kind of smile and nodding his head from side to side, and then the game is for the other one to grab that twig away. They have tugs of war. They may chase round and round. If a chimpanzee wants to greet chimpanzees on the other side of a valley, for example, he or she will use a distance call. We call it the pantoot. Family life is very important in chimp society, and a mother and her offspring will spend a lot of time traveling around together and feeding and grooming each other. And when they groom, they're looking through the hair of a companion. They may pick out a little tick from the grass or a piece of dried skin. It's something that's clearly very, very pleasurable for the chimpanzee being groomed, but it's something that the groomer likes to do too, so they may spend a whole hour taking turns to look through each other's hair. Every night, every chimpanzee makes a bed or a nest up in the trees. They bend over the branches and they put nice soft leaves on the top. They make a new nest every night, and only the little ones share a nest with their mothers. I just feel so lucky. I've been privileged to record the history of wonderful beings that can't record their own history. To be out there alone in the forest, for me, is like being in heaven. It's just a feeling of being quite at one with nature, with the animals, once they'd stopped fearing me. It was what I dreamed of from a child. And it's a magic world. It's a world that most people never are lucky enough to know.
Still in search of the Minimi hominis humeri. Maybe my lenses maximus can help. This camera makes things far away seem really close up. Whoa! That's really up close and personal. Cameras are a great way to check out wildlife. They help you focus on things in nature that your eyes alone never could. These great camera shots of snakes sliding through the grass bring you so close you can see every flick of the snake's tongue, every scale on the snake's back. To shoot these scenes, you need a special kind of camera lens and a special kind of camera person, like Martin Dorn. Martin attaches a snorkel lens to the camera, which will give him sharp images from angles he would otherwise never get. The camera becomes like a periscope, letting Martin get right in there with the snakes. It's a good thing he isn't afraid of snakes, because putting the camera in with them is the best way to get pictures from their point of view. It takes hours and sometimes days for Martin to get the shots he needs. But when he does, they're incredible to watch. Nature photographers must concentrate under the most extraordinary circumstances. There are 10,000 garter snakes slithering around Martin, and even though he knows they're not poisonous, he still has to ignore the discomfort. In fact, he even goes barefoot to make sure he doesn't step on the snakes and harm them. So, the next time you're watching TV and a scene looks so real you feel like you're in it, remember the special camera lens and the fearless photographer who put you there. These woods are a great location to spy on animals. But there's another place where you can snoop about anything. The library. Here are three books that you can poke your nose into, but you don't have to take my word for it.
Are you bored? Tired of doing the same old humdrum things? Well, how about reading a book that'll keep you guessing with every page you turn. The 13th clue is just that book. This is an unusual story. It starts out with a disappointed girl. She writes in her diary that on this special day, no one seems to be paying attention to her. She sees a note in the attic that says, find more clues. The first one says, go downstairs. It's written out with a jump rope and an extension cord. All the clues are written differently. Some are backwards, like this one. Now go out. I'm not going to give away the ending. You can follow these clues for yourself. I'm Laura, telling you to get out and do some fun detective work. The 13th clue will get you started.
Hi. To me, there's no animal more amazing than a big cat. They're strong and very beautiful. Maybe that's why I like this book so much. It's called Tiger. In this story, some villagers spread rumors about a tiger. They believe if you eat its meat, you'll be as brave as a tiger. A hunter comes to track down the tiger, but he's not the kind of hunter you think he is. The hunter spots the big cat and takes 3 shots, but these are not ordinary shots. I'm Jose. Maybe you could guess what the surprise ending is. Even if you can, I'm sure you'll enjoy reading Tiger.
What would the world look like if you were very, very small? This book has the answer. It's called Mouse Views. A mouse has escaped in a classroom. What do you think he sees? Lots of things, but they look pretty strange. Everything is up close. Can you guess what this is? I got this one right away. It's a computer. Is this a rainbow? Nah, just piles of paper. This mouse is having fun. I'm Daryl, and I think this book is worth a closer look. You'll think so too. So hurry up and pick up your copy today.
I think we're getting close. Look at this. The Minimi hominis leave sand all over the place. And they love to play with these. Listen, can you hear them? The Minimi hominis humeri. Little funny humans. It doesn't matter if they're Minimus or Maximus. Human beings are really fun to watch.
You can't find them anywhere. I just love the clothes they wear. They do strange things with their hair. They got lots of style. Sounds.
People.
They walk with 2 feet on the ground.
People.
There's one more thing that I found. They have machines, they ride around.
People.
They get around.
People.
They come in different shapes and sizes. They even wear disguises. Oh, they sure seem weird to me. But if you want to get to know them, just go up and say hello and you'll see just how friendly they can be.
I'm glad our snooping techniques worked. And unlike nosy Mrs. Rat, we didn't stick our noses in anybody else's business. Ah! The Conus Icecreamus Vanillus. Think I'll sneak over and enjoy a favorite hominous treat. Conus Vanillus, please. See you next time. Mmm. Today's Reading Rainbow books are Nosy Mrs. Rat by Jeffrey Allen, illustrated by James Marshall, published by Viking Penguin, a division of Penguin Books USA, Incorporated. The 13th Clue by Ann Jonas, published by Green Willow Books, a division of William Morrow and Company. Tiger by Judy Allen, illustrated by Tudor Humphreys, published by Candlewick Press. Mouse Views, What the Class Pet Saw, by Bruce McMillan, published by Holiday House.